Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Greetings, Earthlings. You are joining us on yet another unbelievably special flight here. We have today not only one of the most influential and important artists of our entire world, but the most licensed artist of all time, an incredible human being who has beat all odds to become who he is today, mm-hmm. gives back to the community, is constantly just filling the world with love and passion and all good things. So we have the one and only Romero Brito.
What a beautiful introduction, Emily. Thank you so much. I'm like about to cry.
No, I feel all of those things about you. And
thank you.
Anybody that you've been in their orbit, no pun intended, I'm sure feels the same way. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What a great introduction again.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Before we started the podcast, we actually were talking a little bit about outer space. And I know that you have a little interest in it, and you're maybe.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I'm always very curious. Actually, I did a whole series of, paintings and drawings inspired on that. Because Lucas was, we were having a conversation about space. He said, oh, Romero, you definitely should do some paintings about that. So I did, space ships, and I did aliens. It was very interesting, very beautiful, yeah.
That's very
cool. I would love to show you both when you come to visit me.
Yes.
Yeah. We have an invite to the studio. And we are going.
Yes, please.
So for those of you out there that maybe don't know a little bit about your younger life, do you mind sharing how you got started? Because I know that you started painting or drawing when you were 8 or something like that.
Yeah, I was so long ago, but I do remember. And I grew up in Brazil. My mother was pregnant 12 times. I think it's incredible that she did that. I don't know. My mother was definitely a hero. I would give to her the status superwoman.
Yeah.
And pregnant 12 times. She was a single mother. Can you believe in that?
Like mine.
Unbelievable. Wow. And then, but only 9 of us survived. Oh. And I'm the number 8. And it was me, my younger sister. She was the youngest of all. And then she passed away last year.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. And then I grew up in a big, a big family, big problems. My mother was the mother, the father, everything.
Yeah.
And she always wanted to keep us together in one place. And I always loved to do drawings. When I was a kid, whatever I could put my hand on, paper or the wall of my mother's house. Going to school, I used to be so bored, and I used to do drawings in my notebooks. And one day my mother told me, oh, you can't do drawings on those paper because there's no money to buy more you know, like paper for you do your homework, you know, those books for you do homework.
Yeah, notebooks.
And notebooks. And anyway, so it was growing up in Brazil that. And but something that really happened very special was that we live in the same street. Imagine if you are like, you know, Lincoln Road.
Yeah.
And there's the water, the ocean, mm-hmm. And then you go to the bay. Mm-hmm. The bay would be like where the poor people lives. And the street was very long. The beach was where everybody that has beautiful homes, you know, mm-hmm. like amazing house. And the beach was like open to everybody. And, you know, we used to go to the beach quite a lot.
Yeah.
And then one day we met this family from England. And this family from England was the daughter and the son. And my sister and I became friends with them. And the mother was very happy because probably they wanted to have friends from Brazil.
Yeah.
And, I asked her where they live, and they live the same street. You know, we're in different stream. And then one day we go to visit, and I became like, I always wanted to go to their house. And I was wishing one day they would adopt me and take me to England or something like that.
Fantasizing.
Away from my house, you know. Because I love going there. My sister and I, we love going. Then the father of my friend was a diplomat, and that's how the idea of being a diplomat, because it was like, God, I could travel the world, I could go everywhere, and I could live in this beautiful home with like.
You thought it was your ticket out, maybe.
Yeah, that was my thing, you know. And like, so I dreamed so much, I went all the way to law school.
That's right.
But when I went to law
your
school,
fourth semester.
My fourth semester, and then I was like, I was so miserable. I was very young, and I don't know how I did such a decision. I was like, this is not for me.
Wow.
And I had a chance through this family. You know, I met so many people, and one of them I asked, at that time I used to ask things to people I don't ask anymore.
Yeah. Do you tell them?
Yeah. So I told them, oh my God, I would love to learn English. And one of the families said, oh, I have a school for English, you can come and have a class there. So I learned English in Brazil, you know. I think I speak a little bit better now.
You speak perfectly.
And then I was able to spend 1 year in Europe, in different people's house that I met, and everybody wanted to host a Brazilian. And then I had to go back to Brazil, but I was always I always tried to do something. I was not the kind of person that stayed without doing anything. I wanted to make money, and I'm sure when you went to Brazil, you see kids selling stuff.
Oh,
on the street.
Yeah.
So I was like that. I was always trying to figure out something.
Selling your art?
Yeah, I sold my art. You know, I sold there was a time I wanted to do a nursery, and then in the backyard of my mother's house, I wanted to take care of plants. So I did, you know, I used to bring those plants to a supermarket to sell.
You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I was forever. Always doing something. And then I was able to buy my ticket to go to Europe. I spent 1 year there. Like I went in an airline from Air Paraguay, from my town to Madrid. And then from Madrid to Paris, I went by train.
Sounds
I went
like
by
Dem's
train
dreams.
Everywhere. Yeah.
And how did you make money in that year that you were in Europe?
Well, I mean, I came with like $1,000, and then I used to show my work around, and then I sold my work to whoever I would meet. I had a show actually in a place called Casa do Brasil in Madrid, and I made some money there. My work, I was selling for less money, but, you know, I used to save really well.
Wow.
I mean, for me to eat a burger,
yeah.
I used to think like 10 times for me to buy the burger or something like that. But, you know, one thing that was very good is like whatever house that I was staying, people's house, I made myself like not one of those guests that is a pain.
Right.
But I used to make like, I used to clean their houses and wash their cars, whatever I could
do. You're a good guest.
To stay there, and they would let me stay longer.
Yeah.
Right. So make a good impression.
Yeah. When I was in Sweden, I stayed in the house with this family that I met the son. And then the father was in the military and really high up there, like some sort of a general. And then I stayed there for the longest, almost 4 months.
Wow.
You know, and my friend was working in Vienna, and I stayed. The parents loved me. And and I used to, you know, I did so many, wash their cars, wash the bathroom. I did everything that I could do to stay there. And the mother loves my art. Mm. And she showed to a bunch of people in this, because it was outside Stockholm. And I sold a lot of my work in Sweden, and I saved a lot of money, so it was good.
Do you still talk to any of those people?
Yeah, I've been in touch, like Henrik, the parents died, so, but like from Sweden, some of them, yes, I still in touch. Not as much, but, you know,
right.
So many things change, you know. I would love to be in touch with everybody, but it's really hard.
Me too, I know. It's so hard.
Yeah, and then I went back to Brazil, and then a friend of mine came to study here in Miami, Leonardo, and I came to visit him here. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided about quitting law school. And and I wanted to go back to Europe. But I came to Miami and I visited a little bit, like very much. I didn't realize how much I love it.
Yeah.
And then what I did was like, when I went to Europe, I was like, God, I mean, I love Europe, but Europe is so like, old world. And I was like,
you want it fresh.
A place more dynamic, and Miami had that.
And what year was this?
Was like end of 85, 86.
Nice.
And so I came here and I never left. I thought I would leave one day, Los Angeles or New York, but I love Miami little by little. It was just like, the city has been amazing to me and the people. And then I live ever since. I go everywhere, you know, and I used to have a house upstate New York that I used to go every summer. My son was growing up. We used to go there because his mother was from there. And we used to have, you know, the whole summer spending there painting there. It was a house in the country. And but Miami's being like, I always, whenever I travel, I feel like I'm coming back home, you know?
It's Miami, Miami loves you. And absolutely. I feel like you are, in a way, like Miami is your canvas.
No, thank you.
And even just Chris, our producer, one of our producers, we were talking to him and he's like, you know, he has a double heart transplant. And he said, every time I was rolled into surgery at Jackson, he would see one of your pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And it, you know, brings a smile maybe in a dark time. Do you feel like you've been able to play with Miami as a city with your art? Like, how do you, these big pieces and, you know, buildings, and how did you get to that?
Well, I mean, it's so special because my town is a big city that I grew up. I didn't grow up in the city, I was outside, suburbia. But Miami, I always thought about the buildings, you know, the buildings and the roads that are so wide. And I remember getting inspiration about when there was, you know, rainy days driving in the evening and you see the reflection of the buildings, the light, the cars and everything. Mm. So, I mean, it was always sort of inspiration for me and it's been ever since, you know. And they call the ocean and the blue sky all the time. And very rarely we have a great day here in Miami.
But
it's always sunny and the beaches and the people, the vibe of Miami is always so up because I think it's because Miami is such a young city and there's a flow of people constantly coming over here. And the people come over here with a very high spirit. You know, they come for vacation, having a good time. And the people who live here really get into this mood about, because the temperature, the weather and everything, the people, that you feel like you're in vacation year round, because whatever you turn around looks like paradise.
Yeah.
Water, green, everything, you know, it's like, I love it.
Yeah, that's, I feel like people either love it or they have some issues with it. I love Miami, but, you know, it is really hot these days.
Yeah, no, but I mean, listen, you know, Miami definitely, it gets warm, you know. But
warm?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Brazil is hot.
I used to be super annoyed about because of sweat, but I got used to, you know. And I think, you know, what happened because we spend so much time inside air conditioning. But as you keep it, like if you open more the door of your car and you have more outdoors activities, you end up getting used to it, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to wear very few clothes, not a lot.
Yeah.
Basically, go to the office in a bikini or something.
I mean, Miami, you see? Another plus of Miami.
Yeah.
It's an incredible place.
Yeah, you don't need to have a lot of clothes too, also, you know. I do have a lot of clothes, but when you come to the palace, my studio, I'm going to show you my closet.
Speaking of, if you're out there and you're watching us right now, we are wearing some crispy white jumpsuits,
yep.
And it is the only time we're going to do so.
Time.
Tell them why, Jen.
Well, because this is a very special day for us. And we figured we would provide you, if you wanted, a canvas to do
anything. Oh, yeah. I was definitely thinking about it. Like, whatever I see white, I want to put color.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
I love that.
One day you should, like, marker my whole body. Like, my skin.
Tattoo,
and we do photos.
Okay, in the studio, I'll do that.
Oh, yes. Oh,
both of you.
No clothes.
Guys, no clothes.
Perfect.
There, no
in honor of Miami.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, I did paint the belly of Mark's wife.
Oh, yeah.
We
yeah.
saw that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
beautiful.
Great, right?
It was amazing.
Yeah,
it's
I can
so
paint
fast.
Your bellies, too.
Yeah. Well, the top part is pretty flat, so I don't have anything here. I'm a flat canvas for you. Okay, speaking of your art style, I'm really curious about this because a lot of people I've heard call your style pop art, right?
Right.
Or, you know, trying to kind of classify you in some kind of genre. And I hear you constantly say, I just paint, you know, I just paint. And I'm wondering, if you over the years have either thought of a word that describes your style. I know people say Romero style or Brito style, but I'm wondering what you think when you see your art, how you would describe it.
Oh my God. Wow, that's a really amazing question. For me to describe myself, my style. Yeah, a lot of people say it's a Brito style, Brito, whatever.
Yeah, you've developed your own style.
I don't think anything looks like anything.
I don't know if you know, but one of the things that I did was I'm the founder of the happy art movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
There was a time that many artists, they really didn't paint anything happy or about around love, with the exception of Robert Indiana, that he became really famous to create that piece of art called Love. But most artists was like, you know, creating so many dark stuff, you know, many artists. And, but I've really, throughout the years, I've seen, you know, beside of people get inspired in my work, but also artists, you know, putting more love into what they do.
Mm.
And whatever dark experience they were having, whatever darkness they see in the world, they instead, to, you know, multiply darkness, they kind of make a little switch, you know, when you change something to something else. What do you call that?
Transformation?
Transformation. So you transform something like from dark to beautiful and in a message more positive.
Mm.
So anyway, but you know, I you know, people say all kind of stuff about my art. It's a good question. I really don't know if I'm gonna be able
the
to
jury is
to you as
I
elaborate
love the honesty.
As the question deserve.
No, it's
which I definitely
there's no wrong answer.
Think more on that. Because, you know, a lot of time what does happen is that art critics and people like in the arts, they keep like eventually come out, it's like, oh, this guy did whatever, you know what I mean? So, it's like, I hope that my art would remind people about being positive and happiness.
Mm,
yeah. The art of happiness.
Yeah.
Happy is
more,
your style.
Yeah, actually, I got the answer for you. The
yes.
art of happiness, because we need that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough. I mean, even if we have everything, but not everything is enough to make you happy.
Yes.
There's more than everything.
Mm. And even in music, like, there's room for all kinds of music, dark music, you know.
Right.
But I feel also a responsibility. I want people to feel joy.
Yeah.
You know, and like invoke that feeling of when you're watching a movie or you're looking at a piece, you're listening to something. Happened to me yesterday. We're watching The Little Mermaid.
The new one.
She is singing and her voice just got to this transcendental thing that my whole body changed. My energy went up, you know, my temperature went, it's like, can really make you
that can
happy.
Inspire you and touch you in a way that nothing can do it but music.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I always wanted was my art to be like music for people's eyes, because music definitely can touch
music
you in a way
eyes.
That you just like. And I was like, my dream, I wanted my art to be like music for people's eyes. Because when you look at, you just transport yourself to a place that is really special.
Yay!
I love that.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy. Which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important. Like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, so we were talking about the happy art movement.
Yes.
And I wanted to kind of just elaborate on that a little bit because, you know, now that I have my own place and I'm thinking more about myself and what kind of space is conducive to me and what brings me joy, like we were talking about before we started the podcast about the pink toilet paper in the bathroom.
Right.
I've been approaching life this way, like choosing things around me that just bring joy, bring happiness. Because I think it just transforms like every part of your day, your interactions with other people and just who you are in general. So I can just imagine that when you're creating these art pieces, you're fueling that energy into your work.
No, definitely. I put everything in my work. Yeah. I love what I do. I really don't know what I would do if I didn't have it, basically.
Mm. I'm sure you could do a lot.
No, I'm doing so lucky to, you know, I mean, wake up in the morning with a purpose. You know, I can't stay in my house without doing anything.
Mm. Yeah.
A long time ago, I used to read a lot. I don't read as much. I mean, I read things on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go to the computer, but I read on the phone. But anytime that I have, I run to the studio. I was traveling this weekend and I arrived and I went straight onto my studio.
Wow.
You know, to paint Saturday and I was there Sunday. Mm. I could stay there even longer. But, you know, actually, since Lucas started running the business, he became the CEO, I was able to spend more time with my art. Because before I was having meetings and I was painting and I was traveling, promoting my work.
Too much.
So now I'm doing the painting and I do the traveling.
And
the business side, you know, Lucas handled that with the entire team. And I've been very lucky to have a great team. And
I love Lucas that.
It's important to have a good team.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But I think it's so important to find your purpose. But back to what you're saying, it's also very important for people to surround yourself with things, with people, and things that bring you joy.
Yes.
Many times people end up hiring an architect, you know, and then they leave everything for an architect. If you can afford to do that, and you end up living in a place that doesn't look like you.
Mm,
you know,
true.
You don't feel like comfortable in your house. And that's why many times you see somebody say, oh, so-and-so bought their house, but they just sold it.
Mm.
You know, like celebrities or somebody,
right.
You know, because you clearly don't have a feeling about the home.
True.
Because if you choose everything, it's a collection of things things that you really enjoy, and there's a story. Like you travel, you see something, you bring to your home.
For sure.
And all that, you know, can tell a story to you, to your siblings, to your family, you know, and you know, it's a great thing.
I definitely suggest
for people to select what they have around.
For sure. Look, right? Like last week or 2 weeks ago, I was at Home Goods. I can shout out Home Goods.
Oh my gosh.
And I see this pink light. It was a light in the shape of a mushroom.
Oh.
And I'm like, does it match with my house? Not at all. Do I need it? Not at all, but I love it so much. Mm-hmm. It's so cute.
Right.
And now
you
I have
it.
I did.
Oh, that's great.
I got it in my living room.
That's fantastic.
We love it.
Yesterday, my sister came over, or my friend came over, and she was like, where'd you get that light? I'm like, I don't know. I got it at Home Goods. I saw it, and I just felt like I needed to take it home with me. And every time I see it, I'm like,
like Marie Kondo says,
cute little
it sparks joy.
It does.
Yeah,
it does
that's
spark
great.
Joy.
So this is, I've been wondering this for a while, and now that you're here, I can ask you.
Okay.
I want the real answer. No, okay. He's nervous now. He's sweating. No. Okay, so I know that you do a lot of limited edition prints and a lot of different mediums that you make your art in, and I think the process is fascinating because, correct me if I'm wrong, but even the prints start with painting, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's paint on the print. Yes.
Right, and then you render it or whatnot, and you can tell me more about that process. But in that process, I saw, which is something that I've always wondered, your style in the background a lot, right? I've noticed that there are these wiggly lines, right? It's kind of like
this is my signature. I mean, I do a lot of patterns on my work, and one of them, many years ago, I started incorporating my signature burrito many times.
That's your signature?
Wow. Signature, yeah. Oh my God,
I thought this whole time that it was like a secret language.
Oh, no, a lot of
I thought you were creating like a secret language and hiding messages back there.
It's himself.
Well, I mean, what happened, when you observe, it's really my signature many, many times. Like the portrait of your mother.
Yeah, it's in the house.
And your father and mother together.
Yeah.
Them. I did, you can see there, you can spot the burritos many times. And it happened because many years ago, I was waiting for the CEO of Absolut Vodka to come to visit. And I was like, what should I give it to Michelle? His name was Michelle Roux. He commissioned Andy Warhol, Keith Haring. And then I was like, I saw a bottle empty there of Absolut Vodka. And then I fill in with paint and a shake. And I put it to Michelle. But burrito came out so bad. And the burrito, you know, when you write something that didn't come out and you try to fix. Yeah. And then I wrote a few times, and I was like, I started writing all over the bottle. And I was like, oh my God, I love it. I'm going to do it in my work. I started putting my name everywhere.
I love that.
And it became like something really cool, because like people that copy my work, try to say it's me, but they cannot copy my name, right? So it's a really good thing for like copyright too. It's great.
How do they try to copy your work?
I mean, with the canvas and paint.
Oh, like image.
That's
like,
hilarious.
Like, yeah, imitation. No, like really make a fake.
Like,
I mean, one
grab
thing,
the same thing. That
no,
you
one
did.
Thing is like somebody trying to fake something.
Your style.
Yeah,
imitate your style.
Imitate one thing, because sometimes people want to imitate, but you do like something. But it's
I've seen that on YouTube.
You know,
there's like a video of a woman. She's like, we admire the pop artist Brito. Let's do a heart in his style.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not what you mean.
No, no.
Yeah, what I mean is that somebody gets something exactly like somebody get you
to impersonate
and make a copy
you.
Of you.
No.
No, he's like freaky, right?
And then sell it like as if they're
and
you.
And put your name there. Yeah. You know, like put Romero Brito.
No.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So anyway, it was good. You know, like the whole process for me to develop my style was something like very spontaneous. It was nothing like premeditated. It just happened.
You with the flow.
Yeah, with the flow. Because first, you know, there was a time when I couldn't afford to buy paint. I did work on finger paint, you know. There was a time it was just black and white.
On newspapers,
and newspaper too.
Right?
Too. Yeah. And then newspaper I used to show in the streets of Miami. I did a lot of, I mean, quite enough. I wish I had done more, because this work, and I was like so valuable, and people pay so much money. I have very few of those. But I was just showing the streets. $30, $50,
and
like
now
that.
You have diamond dust. By the way, what the hell is diamond dust?
Well, diamond dust is a synthetic diamond dust, you know, and there's a great story. I was in one of my collectors in Europe. I was having a show in Munich, and Munich is very close to in this, state of Austria.
Yeah.
Called Tirol, is where the factory of Swarovski is.
Wow.
And then this woman comes and she reminds me of Grace Kelly, very a beautiful person, you know. And she said, oh, Romero, I have so much of your work. I'd love to do a party for you one day. When you come to Austria, I'd love to host you.
Mm.
And then she said, I'm going to send you a picture where I live. And when she sent to me, I was floored. She lived in a castle.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's beautiful, the castle.
Castle full of your art.
Yeah, full of my art. Like a very big castle, like 11,000 acres on the top of a hill.
Wow.
And I was like, there's no way I can paint those walls. And I thought about projecting my art in because as you have the driveway, keep going up, and then projecting on the wall there, this huge wall there, this main wall there, and then in the courtyard also. And I stayed there 3 days. I couldn't see the whole place. I've been several times, but I could never say everything.
Wow.
And a lot of people came. And anyway, but the story is a false.
We're there. I'm not the castle. I'm here. There's wind in my hair.
Grace Kelly's to my acres.
No, it's funny because we do have an idea that she drink water in a pitcher, and she get pebbles from the castle, from surrounding, put in the water to drink water with this.
Minerals,
rocks from there.
What a cool lady.
Anyway, so, you know, her name is Katrine. And one day, if you guys want to go there, visit, I definitely call her.
We're just going
to
attach ourselves to your luggage.
Yeah.
We'll be your free assistants.
Oh, thank you. And then she took me to visit the Swarovski factory. And as we are going through the factory there, the people from showing everything, how they do everything in Swarovski. And then she asked me a question, Romero, do you know why we all love sparkle? And I was like, I didn't know. And then she said, it doesn't matter if you're a kid or a grown up, we all love sparkle, firework, everything that sparkle we love, yeah. Right? It doesn't matter from where in the world we love sparkle. We love light. And then I said, I don't know. And then she said, because sparkle remind us where it came from, light.
The stars.
So like people love that, like stars, anything that we love.
We're
light.
Made of stardust.
Who doesn't love sparkle and light?
Yeah. True.
Anyway, so that's how I started doing, putting a spark into my work.
I love that all of the new things that you add were either like an exploration or a happy accident or a revelation.
It happened. You just have to be aware. Like this was one that was very special, you know, this visit that I did for Katrine and her family, and I started adding sparkle to my work. But, you know, a long time ago, I used very primary colors, and then I started adding pastels, and then started adding, you know, the metallic colors.
I saw.
So I started, you know, like, that many, many colors, and I used those colors for many, many years. When I adopt a color, I never get rid of them. I keep them. You know what I mean? So, and then I also...
In your palette.
In my palette. And it's also very easy for the future, even now, for me to do any sort of restoration, anything that happened with a painting, you know? Because, you know, as a painting goes in a journey in people's lives, you know, they travel and so many things can happen. And so to restore the pieces are very easy. And then I also, many times I go to places and I see something throughout the years and I like it. And I sent to a place that they mix my paint in California.
I was going to say, was the coolest thing I'd ever heard. I saw that some of the colors you've chosen, you said were inspired by your son's children's toys.
Yeah, like Lego pieces.
I was saying, flowers. I wonder what toys. Do you remember any of the Legos?
Yeah, like many pieces, you know, like to be very, very, those colors are so happy.
Yeah, amazing. They are. Pigmented.
Right. Yeah. Flowers. And sometimes I send things flower in the box with ice to California so they could mix my color.
Please,
the funny thing is that I used to have an assistant, used to do all that for me. And one day my assistant, you know, had to go to another state. And then I never realized because he named all the, it was, his name was, well, I cannot say,
name. Don't say his name.
But, you know, and then it was so-and-so this color.
Oh.
You know, so now I'm changing everything, the colors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have Vito colors.
Wow. So have you ever restored your own work? Like, do people come and say, this burrito.
I don't feel, but I'd rather have them to send to other people. Like, if the paint is in Europe or Asia or something, like, you
better
know.
Better go to somebody else.
So it's just like, you know, and then I think it's better for them to find somebody who does restoration or things like that.
Right, because it's a different... different world.
I saw that a part of your process is that you have strategy meetings for naming certain paintings.
I mean, there's certain painting that I definitely talk to, you know, I have, you know, sometimes I ask to Lucas, sometimes I ask to my son, or some people around me, I ask, you know, and then I find a name, you know. It's not very difficult for me, but it's always good to hear other people too. It's great.
Do you feel like the name of the painting is important?
Oh, it's very important because then you have, because sometimes people may, okay, every painting you can see totally different thing.
Yeah,
right.
But at least have some sort of a direction of the thought of the artist as well.
Right.
You know what I mean?
At least the intention.
The intention, artist. Because then you say, well, I don't see that. I see something else. Like, I was in a show in Germany, and a woman came, and she, a vase of flowers, and say, oh, my God, this is my husband. And I believe in her because she bought it. No, but you know what I mean? She say, I love it. This is my husband. I can see my husband this.
Wow.
And it was a vase of flowers. I was like, in
that's
shock.
Incredible.
It you were like, you're right. It is
you're
your
right.
husband. This piece is for you. You can't leave here without it. It's your husband.
Oh, Emily, you're good.
Do you have any... So, of course, you've developed your voice as an artist. And you are probably the most recognizable artist in the world, maybe. I, being with Emily, being an artist in my own right, there's two kinds of art that I make. There's the art that's for the public, right. And there's the stuff that Maybe she's heard because she lives with me.
I do.
You know, some special people may know exist, but for the most part, people don't know exist. Is there a part of the art that you keep just for you? Do you have like a special sketchbook at home that you like draw in only black and white and pen, or, you know, anything like that?
Well, I have a lot of things that people never saw. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, you know, that I kept in my collection, I give to my son.
Right.
You know, and... But one thing I really learned really early, and I don't know where this came from, that I know that I cannot keep everything from me, you know what I mean? Mm. I mean, I keep for now, you know, like things that nobody ever saw, but I'm, you know, I always wanted my art to just start their journey. Some pieces I have, right?
Yeah.
But I know that one day they have to go. It's like hanging a pin on the wall. And you know that the sad story that one day you have to take it down. You know, just like...
Does it feel like you're giving away a little piece of yourself every time? I mean,
but you know, it's just you have to learn how to deal with that and just leave the moment, enjoy everything right now.
Oof.
You know, because eventually everything is evolving, so you can't stop evolution, all that. And but yeah, I mean, for now, I do have pieces that I have in my place that I have for years, you know, and but at the same time, back my mind, I know that eventually, everything's going to have to go somewhere. I don't know where.
There's a Romero Brito quote that you may not have heard, but he says, art is too important not to share. So I think that's really cool. It's something that when learning more about you, I was like, wow, I've been thinking about that, especially over the past couple of days.
I need to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've become my own worst enemy, and then I feel like, the art isn't ready. It can be better. This isn't my best. Right. Like challenging myself. And then in that process, I feel like I lose some of the magic of it. It's kind of like an immature way of thinking about art.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you're immature. It's not that.
I'm saying it.
But I do say one thing, that sometimes it's very hard because we are our first, you know,
biggest critics. Yeah.
And sometimes you have to accept you with all your... That sometimes, I'm not saying about you, I'm just saying my part, to accept me first.
Hmm.
Whatever, you know, is about that piece of art that make unique, like even, because there's no mistake, there's no right or wrong, you know, because if you do, like say, a dot, but the dot has a little crack, you know, because you didn't finish, it could look very cool too, you know what I mean? But you just have to think about where is the time to finish. Because a lot of time, I have a friend of mine that, she started painting and then she kept going. The painting can be like totally, let's say, green and become totally brown at the end because she keeps switch.
Right.
But I told her once that like, maybe you need to know this is the moment, the stage. If you don't like it, keep adding more, get another paper.
Right.
Get another paper. Because now you're going to do, instead to do 10 painting in one painting, you can do 10 different versions of what you want. But you just stop in there and then just like, it looks very cool. It's almost like, for instance, as we grow older, people start shaking their hand and the signature is still you, even if you shake a little bit, you know what I mean? So ideally is for you to say, oh my God, it looks so, like, let's say if you want to do something odd, oh my God, it looks so great, it looks odd, but I love it. And there you go. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if you like, there was a guy, somebody, a collector, that he said that he was tired about having everything right in his wall. He started putting all the paintings crooked. But it's a look.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is a look.
It's a total look.
Yeah.
You know, it's a look. It's like you have a look with your hair like that. She has a look with her hair like with all that. So it's a look. And that's the same thing go to a painting.
Yeah.
And you have to say, you know what? I love. I mean, part of me, I may don't like. You know, the other thing, you know, I did this myself. Like, I love glasses. And then one day, I put a pair of glasses that I feel like so uncomfortable. But I say, I need to wear this glass because I feel uncomfortable.
Oh.
And I need
kind of like working through it.
Do you know working through it? I'm going to wear something that I don't think goes right. Just to
do it.
To try it.
Wow. Yeah. That's like what I'm doing with my unibrow.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
never
do something that you don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you go, I mean, I'm not going to jump out of a plane.
No.
Without parachutes.
Wait, without a parachute?
No, but you know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, do this little thing that is not going to hurt me or nobody else. So
I think that people are intimidated, right, by people who can play in that territory. Like, everybody is always giving people flack for, you know, wearing the weird glasses or having a mullet or rocking your unibrow or whatever. And it's like, yeah, because you want to do it too. You just won't. Yeah. It's like maybe not
be
the
courageous.
Exact choices that we would make. But I feel like ultimately we all need to and should play with our comfort zones, with like so many good things come out of that and uncomfortable things. Like I remember when I was younger, like even just wearing my hair down, I talk about this a lot because it was such a formative thing for me. It made me feel like I was on fire because people were already comparing me to my mom or wanting me to be super feminine. But now they're like, oh, you look so great with your hair down. Why don't you wear your hair down? And I was like, because you're telling me to. And because I feel uncomfortable. And so one day it was pointed out to me that it's like, you know, you're trying so hard to not, you're trying so hard to like be invisible and lay under the radar that you're actually sticking out like a sore thumb. And I was like, whoa, yeah, that's true. In my own way, I was receiving attention seeking attention, but in the opposite way that was healthy for me. So I think sitting here and talking to you has also made me realize how much as artists, like you need to have a relationship with yourself. I think one thing that I'm learning sitting here talking to you is that I need to have a better relationship with me and my art. Like I feel like sometimes I need an external motivator or what's it called, like external validation. And I see you here and it's just like you and your art have a relationship, you know, and I need to work on that. I'm gonna date my art.
and the other thing is to share your art with people that you love. You know what I mean? Like people that you people that is close to you, and then you go, you know, and just and then pay it. You know, like listen. I mean, but it all takes time. You're very young. I'm much older than you. I could be your grandfather.
No,
but I think it takes time. You know that. You know. Even though they never really pay attention about people say anything about, because you know there's a lot of people that like my art, but there's a lot of you know jealous you know people that you know come out with it, say whatever. So when you're an artist, you know because you expose yourself to people. You know what I mean? Like people, you know, somebody can really kind of decipher what you're doing. They can tell what you're trying to say in your art.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melanin Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
I've done so many projects.
No, dancing?
Like dancing. Oh, I did. I did. Actually, I did a bunch of stuff. Actually, recently, I opened two stores here in Miami.
Uh-huh.
One City Center and the other one, Aventura Mall.
One in the airport, too, right?
Yeah, and I have these dancers, you know, dancing with my jumpsuits. With
how cool.
It was so much fun. Everybody love it.
I want you to dance.
Yeah, what about you? I mean, from Brazil.
Oh, I did. In my Instagram. Oh, Carnival in Brazil.
Oh
my God, yes. Carnival.
I've never been.
Okay, so that's on my bucket list.
We should go one day. But anyway, Carnival, the organizer of the Carnival in Brazil, they asked me, they came to me and they said, listen, we want to do an homage to your work. And I was like, my God, people do that when people are dead.
No,
like,
better when you're like, alive. Alive.
No,
how
I was
cool.
In shock. And then they create a samba. And then they also dressed 5,000 people.
The whole school?
The whole school samba. Oh, and they opened Carnival in Rio de Janeiro, which was like the biggest honor I could ever. I mean, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I left Brazil, nobody knew me. And then one day, the whole country, because it was televised by Globo TV, but the biggest network in Brazil. So everybody saw it. It was incredible.
Wow.
So these are like some of the highlights that I can think about, that I did.
Just a little something. Just a little Super Bowl, a little Carnival dedication. you deserve it all.
Oh, thank you.
Like Emily mentioned at the beginning, another part of the reason why we admire you and why we're so grateful that you're here sitting with us, one of the things that I want to focus on, especially more, is giving back to the community. And I know that, and I was just curious, and I'm happy I have you here. One of the charities you work with, over 250, that you work with a lot is Best Buddies.
Yes, I used to be, actually for more than 25 years, I was on the board of Best Buddies. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great organization because when you think about, for people that we think that we kind of, we have everything in our body working.
Right, able.
It's not that easy. Imagine for you to have a child that has some sort of deficiency. So it's even harder. I would imagine being a parent of a child that, have some sort of deficiency. And how would you feel about leaving this world and leave your child? You know, like I worry about my son,
right.
He's almost older than me.
Yeah, he's a full grown adult.
Older than, tell him, Almaston, he's older than me. And I worry for him because he's here because of me. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So imagine if I leave my son or a daughter that they have some deficiency in the hands of somebody else.
Mm.
So anyway, so that's one thing about Best Buddies that I always was very appreciative about what, Anthony did with the organization. So,
yeah.
I mean, growing up in Brazil, I couldn't do anything, even to myself.
Right.
But in Miami, I was able to do things for all the people with things that I was doing with my hands.
Mm.
So I felt like, wow, that's amazing. I can definitely help people creating art. And I, I started donating my art to charities, to Best Buddies, and, Anthony invited me to be on the board. And I stayed all this year. But I help more than 250 charity throughout the years everywhere, and it's very hard to say no. Sometime one of my staff told me you should turn this studio into a foundation, which I do have a small foundation, but my foundation is more about education, but I work more with other charity organization. But it's really special for anybody that can do something for community work, volunteer, do something. And could be with animals, could be nature, anything. Could be the smallest thing you can do, but it's a nice thing.
Yeah, give back.
Give it back. And that's one thing about America that's so special, that people go through whatever in their lives and they open a foundation.
Yeah, it's true.
You
mentioned that you focus a little bit more on education. I was very lucky that when I was growing up here in Miami, they have a lot of different kind of art schools.
Mm.
So being a musician, being a violinist, I went to schools that focus on art. How do you feel? I feel like, we're starting to understand now, but how do you feel arts plays a role in the education of any young child? Mm. How important is it to have that influence?
It's so important because it's the moment that you start you know, developing things that you, this you, do you know what I mean, is a way that you can find you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can find so many things, you know, you can find, a child can find things that they like to do, express themselves. And the people around them, if they're like, they're lucky one to have great parents, the parents can see, oh my God, you know, my kid. And there's also a way of you to think things differently, because, you know, we grew up in the world that everything is pre-dawned, you know.
True.
But it's like, see something that nobody's seeing. You can imagine something. Like, if you think about, like, before we had light, can you imagine somebody about thinking about how to produce light?
Mm-hmm, right.
Or go to space? So all these beautiful
things, like,
think
that we have color, now. Think of a color that doesn't exist. You can't.
Exactly.
It'll be a mix of other colors, or a color you've seen before. Or,
yeah.
Like, think of an animal. It's a horse with a horn. That's a unicorn.
Yeah, exactly. It's like have imagination, because once you're open to dream about anything, and think about the most unusual thing that somebody would say, are you crazy? Like, imagine somebody 200 years ago, I don't know, like caveman, or somebody say, are we going to fly? And people say, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
Are we flying? Yeah. And there you go. But this is all about imagination. There's one thing about that Einstein said that I like very much, is that imagination is more important than knowledge, you know, because knowledge is something that people came out already, so now it's like established. But now imagination, how can you do something totally different?
You can sit and read 20 books, but I don't know if you can teach somebody how to dream, how to create. Yeah.
You can nurture that, you know.
Right.
You know, nurture, but not teach.
That's why I think what you're saying, Jem, about the importance of an education, like even when I was growing up, and I'm very blessed, you know, my parents, you know, got me the best education, and anything that I was interested in, they would support me, especially in the arts, you know. And even I would notice that from the time that I grew up, like I talk to Sasha now, my brother's son, and you have to go out of your way to have arts as a part of your program. And when I was a kid, I remember it being the opposite. You have to do music, you have to do art. Maybe you're not necessarily the best, but you had to have time of the day where you're focusing on imagining things and creating and exploring. You know, like ask Jem, even now, I'm terrible.
Oh,
drawing.
No, she's not.
I'm terrible.
I'm going to sneak some pictures and show you. She has an artistic voice as a visual artist.
Yeah, but if his is joy, mine is doom.
Because but it's still you.
It's you.
It's you, exactly.
Yeah. Weird.
It's
but
beautiful.
Sometimes when I feel like energetically blocked, it's not even music that I go to. It's drawing.
Yeah.
I'll like sit and start drawing.
That's cool.
I mean, I guess I didn't really realize how much, you know, I'll just sit and draw. It's like, why are you drawing? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I felt like I needed to.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I mean, like, listen, I mean, in the end of the day, I do color, but you could do like grays, you could do purples, you could do, you know, the most important thing is keep doing something.
Yeah.
So you know, it's you.
I'm going to make you a drawing.
Okay, I'd love to have
one. Oh, they're so special.
Oh, I love
it. I'm a big fan.
I'm going to put next door to another talented young lady Virginia, the daughter of Andrea Bocelli, she did a little thing.
God.
And then I'm going to put it next to her.
Oh, perfect.
Wow. Well, yeah.
I'm going to, when we
beautiful.
Go visit you in the studio, I'm going to
bring it.
Speaking of,
talent.
Guys, remember we have
let's do the canvas.
Ready? Before you leave us, you want to mark us?
Oh my God, I've been waiting for the moment. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I start. You can
whatever start
you want.
You.
Do whatever you want.
Okay, I'm going to start
here. Oh my God.
How
you guys,
exciting.
This is crazy. Romero Brito is literally right now.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do the sketchy, all right? And then I will fill the colors.
Can you help? There we go.
Yeah.
I love this.
Oh my goodness.
So while you're doing this, where is it that you usually draw your inspiration from? Is it just all your surroundings?
Well, it's everything like travel, like news, like people, friends, and...
Emily's so
I'm geeking,
excited.
Sorry. I mean, like, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime moment,
it
guys.
Really
How
is.
Many people can say that they've had this done to them?
The sparkle. Look at the sparkle. I love it. On his watch.
Okay. I'm going to buy diamond dust now.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to buy when you come to the studio. I give a bunch to you.
We have so many plans with Romero.
No, I have this diamond dust that if you bring to your house, going to be with you forever because it stay everywhere. They stick
That's
everywhere.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I can always remember this. That's look at that. It's already. Oh no, I can't.
That's already
I'm gonna be obsessed
super
with this.
Cool.
I know. Oh man. That's another thing I love about you, that he's doing collaborations constantly. And I think that's so awesome, because one thing that I don't like about certain artists when they get to a level is I feel like, you know, maybe they close off to collaborations and things. And I think your art only grows when you collaborate with
people. I mean, one of the reasons that I have this in my mind, I said, how am I going to be able to share my work with so many people? I mean, like, unless I work with corporation that I was able to, you know, do like when I did the ad campaign for Absolut Vodka.
Hello,
so many
Disney.
People could see Disney. Oh, I did Coca-Cola.
Even one in Japan,
Pepsi,
right?
Japan, everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It's unbelievable. It's like, I'll do sculptures, you know, so I do so many sculptures with, you know, for different places like Singapore, like so many places in Asia.
It's amazing.
Right? So it's great. I mean, I've been very blessed. And Bentley, I just did, you know, this collaboration with Bentley. I didn't drive the car today, but the car is really good. Okay, so
all
let's
right.
see another area. Okay.
Or you want to switch to Jen?
Yeah. Oh, I'll, lift I'll your... do your pants here now.
Okay.
This is amazing.
You can pull like here. Okay, I'll do like a tree.
Oof. Now I show up at your studio and I tattoo all this on me.
Yeah. You know a lot of people do tattoo, right, with my art?
I was about to say, incredible. It seems like an amazing style for a tattoo.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. The other day I was in Bell Harbor and this lady came to me and said, oh, when I was 16, I did a tattoo on me. And I was like, usually I don't ask because I have many stories. And then she was right here on her neck. I was like, how incredible. I mean, she was 16 and she decided about doing that. I was like, couldn't believe.
She was ahead of the curve.
I was like, I couldn't believe.
That's fire. I think one of the most beautiful things about, like, that I love about visual art.
Okay, I'm going to do another here.
Oh my God, but he's going all out.
He's so, and it, you know what I love is that the confidence with which you move.
Oh, it's
you know?
Perfect.
It's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
He's been doing it forever. A lifetime.
I know. Long time.
He's like, don't remind me.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Wow. And I'll do my signature very big in here.
Yeah.
Pull like there.
Here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe pull here.
Of course.
Yeah. And I'll do like.
I'm surprised I'm failing at this job. I've had to do it for my mom. So I'm like, oh.
Wow.
Man.
That's a cool signature.
Okay, and then I'll bring more
color. I'm
I'll
so honored.
Switch it. Let me do yours now.
I'm going to loom here.
Okay, let me move your hair.
Yes. You so just adopted me like 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
Feel comfortable.
My daughter.
Oh my God, guys. We are art.
Wow. What a cool sound, too, you know?
Now I'm nervous. I have to think about what I'm going to paint him.
Anything.
It's got to be special.
You could do you one can of do, your portraits.
I can do, one of your portraits. Yeah, it'll be great. I love to have that.
And it's so, they're so cool.
If I do a portrait of him, he'll never talk to me again.
Oh, no, of course. What do you mean?
Do you know I have a lot of portraits in my studio that people give it to me, artists?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I put it on the wall.
Aww.
Yeah, it's really great.
That's one thing that I wanted to talk to you about is you have such an iconic look. I mean, as a human being.
You.
I mean, the hair with the glasses.
Yeah, the style. He's got style.
You've got style.
Really?
Was that a conscious decision or was it kind of like, I like this and I'm going to stick with it?
It just happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so cool.
He's like, I'm just rock and roll. It's that simple.
It just happened. I didn't have nobody to style me. It wasn't style. I did my own style.
You're just like, all right, let's.
Yeah.
I call Jem my moonflower.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That's look, beautiful. Oh my God, literally when I said that, he was trying to.
Huh?
That looks like a moon flower.
Yeah, look at that. Okay, let's see here. Let's put the other one here. This is
iconic.
Your credentials here is like an officer for space.
Yes.
I give three to you. I'll give another one to you.
Oh, man.
Commander of space, reporting for duty.
Oh my God, Terry's going to die.
These are so dope.
I know.
The white and the black is so cool.
And we're going to frame them and we're going to hang them up. Or we're going to put them on mannequins and find where you live and put them in your window.
Oh, yeah.
Scare the shit out of you.
We're going to play a prank game with you.
Yay.
Oh. This
I'll add more. Let me do a heart for Emily here on the back too.
Got my heart on my front and my back.
Oh, this is so cool. The space element that he added.
I cannot.
But please, send to me or you'll take it now.
We'll give it to you right now. We'll give it to you. We're going to take you up on the offer.
Visit
you in the palace. I just have maybe two more questions I wanted to ask you. You're somebody that's worked with, you know, the traditional materials for the most part of art when you create your pieces. But now we're moving into the digital world. And I have friends who have sent me concepts for films. That it's a whole visual creation based off of AI art.
Oh, wow.
So she's putting words into a system, and that system is producing art.
Visual
art.
Oh, amazing.
What do you think about that?
Oh, my God. Actually, I do have some friends of mine in France that they create this whole persona about me, but they didn't do me as a guy. They did me as a Romero, a superwoman.
Wow.
I know. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's a couple. And both of them, no, he's French and she's from China, but she live in Paris. They live in Paris. Mm. And both together collaborate and they do this beautiful digital thing. I'll send it to you a copy when I get home. And the other day I posted my Instagram. It's really cool. And I was like, if it was Romero, I would be the type like Peggy Guggenheim.
That's your alter ego.
You okay?
You have to read the book of Peggy Guggenheim.
Maybe we'll do a couple, when we have those couple drinks with Romero, Peggy
I'll
will come out.
Peggy Guggenheim to you. It'll be funny. We laugh so much about it. Anyway, but I think it's very interesting. All this new thing that you can do. Of course, that I always wanted my art to look like something that a computer could do, even though there was hand done. Mm. I always want to have some sort of perfection and organization.
With the black line.
Yeah, with the black line that looks like nobody touched that.
Right.
You know, because I think it was more something that was going on in the mind of me growing up in Brazil where there was chaos everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And I want to bring some sort of organization, perfection, and harmony to my art. And something very interesting happened many years ago. I was having some collectors come to visit my studio in Wynwood. I had this beautiful studio there.
Yeah, the outside.
The outside. And then, but before I never painted because, you know, I hardly enough time to paint my art and imagine to paint a wall.
Oh my God.
Wow. So one day those collectors were coming and I thought, maybe I should paint everything black. And then I had huge stickers of flower and hearts, you know, with the outline in white. So it was a beautiful contrast between the black, the white, and the colors.
Yeah.
And somebody decided about throwing, you know, graffiti paint all over my... And then I was so taken, I went to Home Depot and I filled up my car. I never put paint in my car. I used to have this huge, beautiful Bentley, like, you know,
Not for paint.
I went to Home Depot on a Saturday because I didn't want my friends to come over and see that horrible thing. And I created my first graffiti art, which was the first time I mixed the perfection with like whatever, freely. The fluid and the hard edges together. You have to come and see. I will show to you my new work that, you know, it came from that moment, you know, because I did my graffiti. It was a mix between like everything so perfect. And then I wrote words like respect, you know, we are all together, love, messages of inspiration, dream big, things like that. So I did my first, you know, wall in Wynwood, and then I photographed, and I had this idea about creating like a print called The Studio.
Yeah.
And I did 1,000, and we sold out quickly.
I would get one of those.
You know, it's like unbelievable. So ever since this happened, I did so many works with a little bit of graffiti on it. So
cool. Wow. So who knows the next 10 years will hold.
I know. I'm looking forward to see that.
Holograms. Me too. Romero Lito holograms, maybe?
Yeah, holograms.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Wow. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed all of this. Just meeting you and spending this time with you and learning from you. Yeah. You know, you're an incredible inspiration.
No, thank you so much. It's a huge responsibility. Every time I hear beautiful comments like yours and Emily early, when I hear that, the responsibility I have is very big, because yeah. I definitely don't want, you know, for you to change the way you see me.
No.
And, I've been very lucky. I've been very lucky to wake up in the morning and be able to change my clothes, you know, do my bed and get ready to go to work and do my art, because, I mean, there's so many people that is not doing what they love. So it's I'm very happy to do that.
It's very true.
The reasons why you are where you are obviously in part because of your amazing art, but also because of the amazing man that you are. And that's something that I see being blessed in, you know, growing up in the entertainment and art and music world. When you meet somebody who has a good soul and who loves what they do, their art is only that much more important, you know. Wouldn't be worried. You've already done your
time.
You can't mess it up.
You
from
can't
here
undo
now.
What you've already done.
But you haven't all finished your time here yet, because you are gonna hear everybody's favorite segment about what's going on in outer space this week. Space news. All right, Earthlings. Today on Space News, things just keep getting more and more interesting up in this universe. We have now seemingly had a close encounter with alien bodies in Mexico. For Jaime Musang, a Mexican journalist and longtime UFO enthusiast, they are one of the most important discoveries of the history of humankind. I think he might be full of poo-poo. But they were actually found in Peru, according to him. Known to many otherworldly phenomena. We gotta give it, because stuff be happening in Peru, so they almost got me there. The bodies appear ancient in shape, and they have characteristics like humans, with two eyes, a mouth, two arms, two legs, but are much, much smaller in size. So if anything, this doesn't prove that aliens exist, but more that I am more closely related to them because of my size and theirs. So let's hope to see you soon, guys. The jury's out on the alien people, or cake. Some people were showing that it was cake. I thought it was cake. It wasn't cake. All right. Can we make space telescopes less expensive? The JWST is barely a year into its mission, and we're already anticipating the next space telescopes. They're planning on developing the Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope. These scopes are extremely, extremely expensive, you guys. But don't worry, because a team of researchers thinks there are ways to bring down the cost of these space telescopes. What do I say to this? Well, they have written a paper, a very long paper, presenting their thoughts titled Approaches to Lowering the Cost of Large Space Telescopes. This is all great and all, but I'm going to bring these people together and make them write a little paper on how to bring down the cost of gas, eggs, and Taylor Swift tickets. So if you want to join the petition, let me know. For a long time now, we humans have been conducting experiments up in space. Some cool, some scary, some that advance the field of medicine and science, and so much more. One that has perhaps been long forgotten, but I think one of the most unique, was the Moon Tree mission. Just as we once didn't know how space would affect animals, we were also unaware of its effect on plants. So when the Apollo 14 mission landed on the 31st of January, 1971, its cargo contained something we might now consider a bit peculiar. Roughly 500 seeds, you guys. Scientists from the Forest Services wanted to know if tree seeds that had flown into this microgravity had been exposed to it and subjected to space radiation and gone around the moon a few times would sprout and grow the same as trees that never left Earth. Well, by 1975, the moon trees, as they had come to be known, were large enough to be transplanted, and they were shipped all over America.
No way.
Well, guess what?
Oh my God.
There are also now hundreds of thousands of moon trees among us, and we don't even know it.
Oh my God.
So go look online and see if we can find a location.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. That's so cool.
There we go. Maybe we can get Romero a space moon tree.
Moon trees in Earth.
Yes, and this has been Space News.
Oh wow, that's great.
Listen, I back what Jem said.
Oh, thank you.
It was a true honor to have you here. You're welcome.
No, I'm so
anytime.
Happy to be here. I'm very honored to be here with you guys.
We'll be in the studio soon.
Perfect. I'll send you dates so you can pick up before the next flight.
Perfect.
Well, the next casa tomorrow. Es tu casa.
Gracias, gracias. Muy amables.
You guys, gracias. Romero Brito. Woo-hoo! Thank you. See you next week. Bye.
Oh, that's so nice.
This podcast is brought to you by Moonflower Productions in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.